Well, happy Sabbath. The travel over here today was almost as long as it takes us to get to Eau Claire with the construction. Well, music has a way of bringing us back to certain places and times. For many people, music that was popular during our formidable years can bring us back to those times. Back in the day, as they say. For me, growing up in the 1980s and 90s, when hearing music from that era, I might recall a cold, early morning, maybe a winter drive to my first job at McDonald's to fire up the grill and open up the store. Another song might suggest a time listening to a new CD on the stereo in the band room during high school. Lunch, you get the point, nostalgia kicks in. A sentimental longing or wistful affection for the past, typically for a period or a place with happy personal associations. Now, the cold early mornings driving to McDonald's to open up the store might not be a happy association, but we can long for the good old days. Back when gas prices were reasonable, before the internet and social media made everything so complex, when times were simpler. The origin of one song during the late 90s was an essay written as a hypothetical commencement speech by the columnist Mary Schmick, and it was originally published in June of 1997 in the Chicago Tribune. The essay gives various pieces of advice on how to live a supposedly happy life. It became well known when Baz Luhrmann produced and released Everybody's Free in 1998. You might remember it as the sunscreen song. Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 99, wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proven by a scientist, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. End quote. Ring a bell, anybody? If you're over the age of 40, this essay, which became a much-played song on radio stations across the world at that time, might bring back some nostalgia. In the song, a lot of advice is given, but that's not the point of my message today. My point is that if you listen to the song now, you'll probably have memories of places and things that you were doing when you first heard it. It brings you back. Quoting that essay again, don't worry about the future, or worry, but worry. Know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubblegum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindside you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. End quote. It's not bad advice. In fact, it kind of reminds me of something in the Bible in the Philippians chapter 4 area, maybe Philippians 4 verses 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Does God want us looking back into our past? Or does he want us looking ahead to the future? What's best for us? How can we move forward and make progress if we're always looking back? I have 3 points to share with you today. 3 points. Number one, don't dwell on failures. Have a growth mindset. Number two, avoid nostalgia. Number three, don't think you have arrived. Today is a new day. Number one, don't dwell on failures. Have a growth mindset. Number two, avoid nostalgia. And number three, don't think you have arrived. Today is a new day. So let's start with number one. Don't dwell on failures. Have a growth mindset. Please turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 37. We're going to read a couple of verses in Psalms 37. Starting in verse 23. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Verse 24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. We shouldn't dwell on past failures or defeats. Right? None of us are perfect. We've all had things not go our way. Thinking about them or dwelling on them doesn't change anything. In fact, it just makes you feel worse. Think of the story of Peter walking on water. He walked on water. But what do people remember Peter doing? Sinking, right? We focus on the negative. He tried. Nobody else in that boat got out of the boat. Peter got out of the boat. He tried. At least he got out. And he did walk on water. Don't fear trying something because you're afraid of failure. You'll never grow and learn without failure. And there's actually a lot of science to back this up as well. Having a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. Being willing to try something new. Have that chance of failure. Some failure is going to be involved with growth throughout our lives. But we all need to be growing and learning, which means some failure is going to be involved. Only those who never attempt anything are free from failure. And God doesn't throw us away because we fail. In fact, he's merciful and sees his children's efforts. He sees what we're trying to do. People always concentrate on failures more than accomplishments. And failing doesn't mean that you're a failure. Never trying does. With God, you can be confident in saying, sure, I've failed, but that's not it. I'm not finished. This is something that I can learn from. Failing opens up doors to start again and get better. That's how we learn. Yeah, failing hurts, but only for a short time. That's why God lifts us up and out, and looking back on your past failures can make you feel defeated. So, don't look back. Look ahead to the future that God has in store for his creation. 2 Peter 3:18. You don't have to turn there, I'll just read it. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Have that growth mindset. The future is bright. Move forward. So number two, avoid nostalgia. Let's quote back from that essay again from Mary Schmick. Quote, accept certain inalienable truths. Prices will rise, politicians will philander. You too will get old. And when you do, you'll fantasize that when you were young, prices were reasonable, politicians were noble, and children respected their elders. Respect your elders. Continuing on, be careful whose advice you buy, but be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. Dispensing it is a way of fishing out the past from the disposal, wiping it off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it for more than it's worth. End quote. So thinking again about looking back and avoiding nostalgia, Ecclesiastes 7 verse 10 comes to mind. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 10, I'll just read it, you don't have to turn there. Do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. God doesn't want us looking back. We can think about our past during a trial and recall better times, maybe enhance the good memories and suppress the bad ones. Those were the good old days, the simpler times. Our memories fail us. Don't fall into this trap. Do we ever forget the old man is dead and crucified with Christ? Romans 6, 6. And maybe long for those good old days? Do we remember only the fun that we had and forget the price that we paid? Romans 6, 6 says, knowing this, that the old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. The future is bright. Move forward. So many examples of nostalgia, right? In the Bible, people looking back when they shouldn't be looking back. I'm sure you all have a couple of examples in mind. A couple that I thought of here, after leaving Egypt and crossing the Red Sea, it didn't take long for Israel to complain and forget about their bondage and their beatings, only remembering the pots of meat and bread that they had. They just crossed the Red Sea. It just boggles my mind. A hefty dose of nostalgia kicked in. Remember the meat? Remember the bread? How could they forget that they were slaves? And we can read that in Exodus 16, verse 3. Exodus 16, verse 3. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate the bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. And they had just crossed the Red Sea. They just got out of Egypt. Don't have selective memory. The future is bright. Move forward. Don't look back. When thinking about not looking back, Most of us probably go right to the example of Lot's wife. One of the first things I thought of, right? Becoming a pillar of salt. Please join me in Genesis chapter 19. We're going to read that section. Genesis chapter 19. Let's read about what happened to Lot's wife. Genesis chapter 19, starting at verse 15. And we'll read verses 15 through 17, and then skip down to verse 26. So Genesis 19, verses 15 through 17, and then 26. Genesis 19, verse 15. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." Verse 16, when he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. They brought him out and set him safely out of the city. Verse 17, so it came to pass when they had been brought outside that he said, "Escape for your life, do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." And then drop down to verse 26. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. God had just saved her life, the life of her daughters and her husband, but she had to look back one more time. God was giving them a new future in the future, right? Ahead, looking ahead. But she wanted to hold on to the past and look back. The future is bright. Let's move forward. Point number three, don't think that you've arrived. Today is a new day. Today is not the past. Today is not tomorrow. We have today. Please turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Here we'll read about pressing forward and forgetting the things in our past. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. I'm reading this passage from the English Standard Version. So Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. We press forward. We look to the future. We don't look behind. We might think, well, I prayed yesterday. I studied my Bible a few days ago. That's pretty good, right? I served God's people with my talents a few years ago. Well, what about today? That was yesterday. That was in the past. Today's a new day. And I'm speaking to myself here as well, things we should all consider. Forget about all that we've done in the past. You know, some might think that they did enough. They don't need to do any more. We need to stoke the embers if the coals are getting dimmer. Refire, not retire. We need to ask God, how can I serve today? We should be looking ahead and realizing that the best is yet to come. No one quits their job today because they worked yesterday. Don't ever think you've done enough or made it and just rest on your laurels. And I'm not saying that we can earn our salvation, not at all. Just don't think that you've seen it all and that your best days are in the rearview mirror. God has more in store for each and every one of us. God's word says that we're not fit for the kingdom of God if we look back. We can read that in Luke chapter 9, verse 62. I'll just read it. Luke 9, verse 62. Luke chapter 9, verse 62 says, "But Jesus said to him, 'No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" Now, if we all tuned into the GCE webcast a couple weeks ago, Mr. Shaby talked about moving forward, and he ended his message with a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2. That's kind of why I got started thinking about this concept a few weeks ago after that sermon. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 5 says, "Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." That was 1 Peter 2, verses 4 through 5. So we're being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. We just celebrated Passover in the days of unleavened bread a few weeks ago, commemorating Christ's sacrifice and our coming out of this world, recommitting ourselves to following the way, Jesus Christ. It is hard at times to keep our eyes on the promises of God and what he has in future for us, that bright future. We can instead nostalgically look toward the past, the good old days. Was it really that great? Instead of looking back on the past, which, again, it never was really as good as we remember, we need to look to the bright future that God has for us and move forward. The Apostle John lived to see the Roman city, the Roman army destroy Jerusalem in AD 70. So think about that. John, the Apostle, was there in AD 70 when Jerusalem was destroyed. But above the rubble of that destroyed city, he saw Revelation 21, verse 2. He saw the future, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Right? Revelation 21, verse 2. The future is bright. We need to move forward. So once again, the 3 points we covered. Number one, don't dwell on failures. Have a growth mindset. Number two, avoid nostalgia. And number three, don't think that you've arrived. Today is a new day. There's a wonderful era of God's kingdom yet to come. Let's live in hope and optimism. Don't allow past failures to define you, and instead have a growth mindset. Learn from those failures. Keep pushing forward. Our tendency is to reminisce, to look longingly on the past and wish for those good old days. Do not fall into that nostalgia trap. And don't think that you've arrived. Each day is a new day. We need to stoke the embers if the coals aren't as bright as they once were. And like I said earlier, refire, not retire. Ask God, how can I serve today? And then listen and act when he answers you. We need to look ahead. The best is yet to come. What God has in store for us is so much better than anything we can imagine. Jeremiah chapter 27, verses 11 through 13 is where we're going to end today. If you want to turn over to Jeremiah chapter 29 with me, we'll read just a couple of verses in Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13. These promises that God made to Israel in exile also apply to us here and now, today. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13. And I'll read this in God's Word translation. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace and not disaster. Plans to give you a future filled with hope. Verse 12. Then you will call to me. You will come and pray to me, and I will hear you. When you look for me, you will find me. The future is bright. Move forward. Don't look back.